Hi everyone, this is John Sneisen from World Alternative Media, and today we are joined yet again by the great Tim Pachote in Arizona, and today we're going to talk about something very interesting happening in Vancouver. Well, of course, me and Josh, we've been predicting this housing bubble in both Vancouver and Toronto that is going on right now, but Vancouver is really struggling, and what we're seeing with Vancouver is some serious declines in their housing prices. Tim is going to go into the article here that talks about what's happening in Vancouver right now.
Thanks, John. So we've got an article from Wolf Street right now where it's saying that the Vancouver housing bust steepens, Bank of Canada welcomes froth coming off. In the city of Vancouver, condo sales, the largest segment of the market, plunged 30% in April, from April to April last year, to merely 348 condos, the lowest since 2011, even as inventory for sales jumped by 75% to 2,191 condos. At the current rate of sales, supply soared by 168% year over year to 6.4 months, and prices are descending at speeding ticket velocities. Average prices are down 19% year over year to 786,000 Canadian, median price down 17% year over year to 651,000 Canadian, and the average price per square foot is down over 14% to $940. And buyers have become increasingly hesitant, particularly for unbuilt products such as pre-sale condo assignments and unfinished development in general, says Steve Suretsky of Vancouver Realtor and author behind Vancity Condo Guide in his April report. This is prompting condo developers to increase bonuses and incentives as unsold inventory begins to pile up at pre-sale centers across the Lower Mainland.
Yeah, and this is what's going on in Vancouver right now. And we've been talking about there was a little bit of an uptick for a little bit there. Well, a little downturn, and then it was another huge uptick as they were banning foreign investment from investors in Vancouver because the housing prices was, you know, of course, severely drawn up by the mass amounts of Chinese that, you know, parked their wealth overseas in just assets by just buying houses.
So they actually went through with that. So I know that at one point they were talking about it, but I don't follow the Canadian economy like super closely. And I know that they were talking about putting all sorts of taxes and saying it's terrible that these Chinese are coming here and spending money on our condos and pricing us out of the market. So we're going to put like a 17% tax on you or something is what I seem to remember. But so they actually went ahead with that incredibly bad idea.
Yeah. And that's what you're seeing right now is that downturn from, you know, banning and stopping that, of course, which is, of course, the government interfering in the markets. But then on top of that, we got to remember the Chinese, they've been printing money. I listened to Michael Pento Portfolio just recently, and he was talking about how, you know, they quadrupled their debt in China or just since 2007. And that is also insane, right? So there's a lot of money that I'm slushing out of the Chinese markets and into, of course, the Canadian economy. And we've seen that here in Winnipeg as well. I've been, you know, involved in building houses here in Canada, in Manitoba, where in Winnipeg, where I've been wiring up houses. So I've seen firsthand like how many Chinese are coming in and buying up houses. There's usually just one person that you meet everywhere, and then there's a whole bunch of different owners on title on those homes. What I want to show also as well is the actual City of Vancouver detached house sales in April of this year in 2019 is at a massive record low. And it's, I don't know if the stats are shown here, but it shows that it's the lowest since early 1990s.
Yep, and we've got it pulled up for everybody right now.
Yeah, and it's dropped drastically down. Like it's down from the peak in 2015 where it was 436 house sales, but now it's down to 130. And what I think is happening is people are hoping that something is going to, you know, stop this fall. The government is going to come in with some more rules and regulations, trying to, you know, make sure that the house prices are not, you know, plummeting, you know, 40, 50%, which definitely could are in this picture, because Canadians are super over leveraged by far, like by far one of the most leveraged nations in the world. They're top five in the world when it comes to private debt to GDP. And the Canadians here, we're just seeing what's happening is that Canadians have, you know, believe that their house is an asset. And of course, who has been, you know, more of a proponent of that, of Robert Kiyosaki, was the first guy that kind of came out in his book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, saying that, and that kind of scared people. A lot of people woke up, a lot of people are around today talking about different things, and our investors, our, you know, bloggers, YouTubers, because of that Robert Kiyosaki book, The Rich Dad Poor Dad, which is amazing and just exposes the whole kind of structure on how everything is structured and how we're all screwed if we don't, you know, do investments and so on. Talking about your house is not an asset, the head of CMHC just warned that in this article, they're saying that it's a warning about home ownership dream and China-US trade talks resume. But what he said here, the head of CMHC wants Canadians to stop glorifying home ownership as a vehicle of savings, warning that the party ultimately comes to an end. In an interview with Evan Saddell, he shot back at critics of the first-time home buyer incentive, discussing the concerns about household indebtedness and expressed a desire for banks to have more skin in the game. We'll follow up with on his insight and in the coming days we'll zero in on the merits of owning versus renting. Well, that's what Bloomberg says anyways. What they got to understand is the CMHC just recently, to boost the markets, is they put in another 10% on top of your down payment. So you're looking, let's say you're doing a 5% down payment, the CMHC comes in and insures a 10% on top of that, that they take and actually make a down payment, then it's insurance. So they're like the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac of the United States, and we all know what happened there. But that's what CMHC is doing. They're actually an insurer for a kind of more like closer to subprime, you know, borrowers. And that's what we have an issue here in Canada, is that this belief that, you know, people are using their house as an ATM, they're printing mass amounts of money by, you know, taking out another, you know, equity loan or they're just remortgaging their house even higher, instead of understanding that maybe you shouldn't use your house as an ATM unless you actually do some renovations, you put on a garage, you renovate your home so it actually gains value, then it's fine. But the problem here is that so many Canadians have used their home as an ATM, going on vacations, buying cars, buying boats, houses, whatever kind of fancy doodads, as Robert says. And this is a huge problem that has ended up in Canada. It's not just in Canada, but everywhere in the world where people don't understand money and economics. People have, you know, believed that, and this is what's also the Federal Reserve and other central banks around the world, the Bank of Canada, and everybody has created is this push where they need to figure out, like, okay, so what was the most important assets to people to the middle class, because that's who we need to help here to make them, you know, shut up and not say anything about the economy. So what did they do? Well, they went and pumped in you know, trillions of dollars into stock markets and of course the lending, because they put interest rates down to near zero. That's what really, you know, have created this massive bubble of such epic proportions in Canada and everywhere else, because people just mortgaged up to their ears, and they're usually, you know, their loan to values, a lot of people have them, you know, up at 95 or 100. Here in Canada, there's a lot of people that are, you know, maybe 20% 80% or up in loan to values on their homes. At any given time, and that is very unsustainable, where people are constantly, you know, buying things that cost them money over time to use instead of investing that money. A lot of people have been wise. I know a lot of people that are great real estate investors or have used the money from homes, from real estate investment to great grow massive portfolios of wealth in a smart way and not just wasting that money on, you know, just fun and play. You can get that type of money by investing and by creating that residual income for yourself, of course. But that's what we have this attitude towards. Everybody believing that their house is their asset. And I want to just promote a quick bit in my book here before I let you get going here, Tim. Let me just find it here. I just want to show the people here. I got a chart. And it shows the actual, this is my chapter, Building Our Way to Prosperity, I call it in Canada, where I talk about how big of a part of the GDP, actually the construction and the real estate industry have been. And if you take a look at this chart here, it shows, you know, the top 1%, they actually own a very mixed asset classes. But then as you get to the, you know, next 20% below them, more is like more percent of the 30% is their residential, their principal residence that is claimed as an asset for their retirement. And then you go to the bottom, you know, you go to the bottom 80%. Well, now you're looking at about 65% of all their money that they've saved up, that they believe that they saved up, is their house, Tim, and that's kind of scary to see that number and understand how detrimental that will be for the economy, because people have relied on, you know, real estate as a cash cow.
Well, now people have started to be priced out of the market. So I've got an article, and actually, just so let people know, we will have the link down below where you guys can pick that book up on Amazon. And so maybe you're thinking, hey, you know, I hear John talk about this stuff all the time. Well, maybe your brother, or maybe your aunt, or your uncle, or maybe your grandma, grandpa don't know this stuff. So go, you know, help support the channel and go give it to them as a gift, and maybe, you know, help them make a right decision over here. But what we're taking a look at now is that the Vancouver housing market is dismal, but you still need a six-figure income to get your foot in the door. And this is an article from the Business Financial Post. And so what it's saying is that basically just to get your foot in the door over here, you're going to need at least $100,000 or $120,000 of income to even play this game. And of course, you know, the head of Canada's largest credit union has a quote in here saying, "We see no evidence of a free-for-all." And it's a free fall, not a free for all. It's Room 50 said. I guess we're gonna have both. Yeah, maybe if we're lucky. But you know, just comes down to this is just unsustainable situation. But I mean, I don't have the numbers, and maybe John does. But I'm guessing that the incomes have probably gone up nowhere near as much as what the actual all these financial assets have gone up. And so, you know, let's say now it costs, you know, twice as much to down payment, but you know, your income has gone up, you know, 10% over the past 10 years. I'm just making up a number right now, but you know, it's just a complete unsustainable situation that was fueled by a lot of these Chinese buyers and speculators and people trying to get their money out of China. But then you have the government who then actually, Joe John, don't have it on. All right. Now, if you want to flash it up.
So Canadian debt addiction. That's what the problem is there, Tim. We just get into so much debt here in Canada.
You want to flash up again? Because since you weren't talking, the camera wasn't panned over to you. So we needed to talk and then it
got No, I just showed you a piece of my book here, which says the Canadian debt addiction. And that is what Canada has. It has a massive debt addiction. It's one of the most leveraged economies in the world. And we're talking about how safe the banks are. And you're talking about the credit unions. So I looked at the banks, the major banks in Canada. They didn't have very much cash to deposit ratio, very good cash to deposit ratio. Then I looked at the credit unions because people thought that, oh, credit unions are way more secured, are way better, you know, insured and all this stuff. And that's not the case. They're actually way less. They have about 1-2% less cash to the deposits that they have in their accounts. And this is something that's going on in Canada, which is, I just want to show it, Tim, if you could get over to the Better Dwelling article where it shows actually the Canadian M1 plus 12-month percent change, because this is something that should scare the bejesus out of most people that actually watch this. And if you take a look at this chart here, Tim, and this chart is showing us that, you know, we're at record lows in growth of the M1, which is the deposits and the of course investments in the bank accounts. And what is interesting is you have an average growth rate of 8% in the M1 money supply. That is a substantial amount of money compared to what we're getting told that the actual real inflation is. So there's a lot of money getting into the economy on a grand scale versus actually how much we are getting told by the manipulated CPI numbers and so on, that are telling us that we're fine, you know, our wages aren't growing that much, but we're all okay, inflation is not that bad. Well, meanwhile, you look at the housing markets and the stock markets, they've just been, you know, going through the roof in Canada as well, but now they're kind of coming down again finally here at the Toronto Stock Exchange, the TSX. So we are seeing some severe problems there. If you look at the chart, it shows that we're basically right under where we were in 2000, after the 2000, you know, bubble in the United States, the dot-com bubble. And we're seeing that the growth is, rapidly decreasing here because people are, first of all, they're defaulting on their loans. A lot of people can't pay their mortgages. Me and Josh, we talked about how the average, 48% of Canadians are $200 away from insolvency, basically not being able to pay their loans. Of course, auto loan delinquency rates, we were talking about that in the United States, but that's also a massive thing here in Canada. We have, of course, our car title loans here in Canada, which is insane, where you take out an equity line of credit on your freaking depreciating car. It's just insane.
What can go wrong? And I do have an article right now from globalnews.ca where it shows the headline is Canadian households now using 14.9% of income for debt payments. And not even sure if that's counting mortgage or if it's just counting revolving lines of credit like credit cards. But either way, I mean, it's another, you know, unsustainable situation. We've got a quote here. We think the increase in debt servicing costs is more of a headwind to consumer spending than a financial stability risk. And so, I mean, this is just a whole nother reason why the rates can never really afford to go up. It's all a big charade when the central bankers say that, you know, oh, hey, look at our dot plots and we're, you know, projecting. And actually now the dot plots are actually basically showing like almost like basically a flattening or even going down. And that's something that I was reporting on kind of towards the end of last year. And so if you go back to like 2010, 11, the dot plots, at least in America, were showing that, you know, we were going to be at like 4 or 5% Fed fund rates 4 or 5 years ago. And I remember telling somebody in the email that there was no way that that was going to happen, and that the Fed's in a rock and a hard place. And I actually got reprimanded, like slap on the wrist, because like their AI system somehow caught what I said and said, you know, you're not allowed, you know, as a financial advisor, how dare you do some financial advising and try telling somebody that. And I ended up being like basically 100% dead on, like, okay, yeah, you know, Donald Trump getting elected gave people hope, and which then allowed the Fed to have these BS rate increases that they're going to have to eventually backtrack from anyways. And so if it wasn't for, you know, Trump getting elected, I'm sure that the rates would have probably only been raised that one time they did, just to say that they did do them. But I mean, they were forecasting these ridiculous hikes that we all knew was never going to happen. And, you know, it's just, you know, since it costs so much money to get into these houses right now, since Canadians, Americans are spending so much of the percentage of their income just to get in, just to maintain the current that they already have, this whole entire system is just predicated on getting more and more and more deeper into debt. And it's not just in Canada. We have an article here today from Zero Hedge. The title is Real Estate on New York City's Billionaire Row, 40% unsold due to unrealistic prices. And so, you know, when even the billionaires are having a hard time shelling out $7,000, $8,000, even $10,000 a square foot for their properties, then, you know, I mean, I guess it didn't stop who's a big hedge fund guy that had the new highest priced home. It was like Ken Griffin recently, I think, set the new record for housing prices. I think it's even in this article. But anyways, it's not just in America. Yeah, it's an extreme example talking about, but it's even the luxury market. So I know even here in Phoenix, like some of the nicer areas, like Scottsdale, if you're like probably like the northern Scottsdale, a very nice area, Paradise Valley. It's the jumbo mortgages, the houses that cost over $500,000, over $1 million. Those are the houses that aren't really selling, and maybe they have, you know, $1,000 a month, like HOAs, you know, for their golf country club memberships. And those houses, you know, I know a lot of them where the real estate is not really flying off. It's, you know, the average house, you know, $200,000-$400,000 homes, you know, those are doing okay. But it's, you know, anything that requires, it's that luxury market though, has gotten absolutely hammered. And I don't even think it's even back to where it was in 2006 when things were absolutely crazy, because Josh and I are really at the epicenter of this, being in, myself being in Phoenix, him being in Vegas. And maybe we'll give you a quick update on Josh. So I know that you know he was kind of texting us back and forth. So do you want to give people like a little update or teaser on you know, where he's at? And actually, this is really crazy, just quick as a side. So last night, I finally, you know, hang it up, you know, working around like 8:30 at night, go into the bedroom, and my wife's watching some sort of show where, I kid you not, the freaking Eye of Africa. What is the whole structure called? Like the recharge structure.
Yeah.
It ends up being, it was on TV, and my wife is just like, she never watches this sort of stuff. She's always watching, you know, like Kardashians or something like that. And I'm like, this is so crazy. I'm like, this is where Josh is right now. And I had to like, I'm like, pause it. And I do a quick little video of it. But do you want to give people an update on Josh and how he's doing and maybe where he's at? And what
Josh is doing good. He's down, he's in Morocco finally. So he's back into a little bit more civilized world. But again, you know, he saw a lot in Mauritania that, you know, had him question completely what we're getting told by the government, of course. With, you know, how dangerous it was and how scary it was. Meanwhile, it was like actually quite friendly and very, very nice people over there in Mauritania. So they might, if any country in the world, you know, might have some potential. Hopefully you get some more tourists into Mauritania to help the economy a bit, because it's quite struggling. They just recently went away from their own currency, using their own currency. I think it defaulted, like I think it didn't hyperinflate, but they devalued it. There was a couple of issues there, of course, which most African nations have massive problems with, you know, currency supply and so on. But yeah, he's coming back. He's going to Paris, and I think he's going to Spain, to Catalonia. He's going to do a report about what's happening in Catalonia, of course, because Catalonia has been one of the biggest ones wanting to actually get out of Spain and become their own nation. And then he's going to Paris for a couple of days, and he's coming finally back home, and we'll see a lot more of Josh very soon. But I just, since I'm talking about...
as you guys in case you guys are getting sick of John and I, and be like, hey, who the hell is this guy over here? You know, we want Josh back. We'll trade out Tim for Josh again.
Yeah, I know Josh will be here, but of course Tim will also be a part of this, because we're creating as much content and quality content for you guys as we possibly can with our time that we have here. But I just talking about monetary supply. So I just wanted to go back and kind of end this whole video, Tim, with showing, you know, the monetary supply of Canada, the M3 monetary supply. And what's interesting is that it's actually since 2007, I'm not going to even go back to 1995, which, like, since 1995, it's up 500%, which is insane. But it's gone since just 2007, it's gone up, you know, 250% over those years, which is basically, it's 12 years that it's gone up 250%. That's an insane amount of yearly inflation if you divvy it out. And it just shows you how much money is getting printed here in Canada. And most of that money got parked specifically in the housing market, specifically in you know, Vancouver and Toronto, which was the biggest bubbles of such epic proportions. So that's where you're seeing all the inflation. The thing is, now we're actually seeing more inflation in Canada because we have taxation coming in with the carbon taxes everywhere in Canada right now.
I just want to say is theft as soon as you said taxation, but I do have I do have it pulled up right now on tradingeconomics.com. I've got it maxed out. If we go to even the 10-year on the M3 data, and it is pretty crazy just how much this has gone up.
It is insane, Tim. And what is interesting, though, is I looked at this was I haven't looked this year yet, but I think it was last year I looked at the actual increase in balance sheets for all the central banks. And you know what the average increase in the balance sheet since 2008 was between 2008 and 2018, Tim? It was 333-something%. That is an insane amount of asset buying, you know, trying to buy up assets in order to save the economy. Same as happened in Canada. We had our quantitative easing from the Bank of Canada buying up bad assets. And of course, we've had, me and Josh were talking about the peak in the markets when Bank of Montreal put out the $2 billion credit collateralized debt obligation, a mortgage-backed security, just about two years ago, or 1.5 or 2 years ago. We were talking about this, and it's calling the bubble, the peak of the bubble. We got it a little bit wrong, but now we're seeing, you know, kind of the downfall here. Meanwhile, Bank of Canada said that, oh yeah, we're not moving interest rates. We might be looking at actually putting them down. And together with, we got this bubble between Canada and Australia. I have a bet with some Australian viewers of ours of who's going to be the first central bank to lower their interest rates in those two economies to try to, you know, save the economy. Meanwhile, you know, the interest rate in Canada is so low that if you lower it, you want even, like, it's 1.75%. So if you need to, because if you look at the average, for example, the Fed rate, how much you get cut on an average in a crisis, how much they need to try to stimulate the economy, it's about 5%. Well, if you cut the Canadian interest rate 5%, you're looking at a negative 3.75%. And of course, with the recent Jasper, Project Jasper from Bank of Canada with working with Bank of Monetary Authority of Singapore doing a transaction with me and Tim just covered here with the cashless, the final, they could probably pull this off with having cashless and negative interest rates. Because you can't pull that off without negative interest, no, without cashless negative interest rates. Because what will happen is what happened in Switzerland, where most people, you know, stack their massive amounts of cash in vaults together with their gold and silver because they couldn't have it in the banks because they were getting charged for lending the money to the banks, which is completely insane, Tim. You tell me, like, is this sustainable? Like this whole asset bubble. Do you think assets like real estate and the stock market will go up forever? Or do you think we'll hit a point where we just hit kind of, which I've been talking about for a while, which I call like peak debt saturation, where you have so much debt, everybody has debt, so there's nobody more to lend to. So you'll get the collapse there because that's, you know, it's not sustainable to lend to anybody else.
Well, I think it just depends if you're talking about going up in real terms or going up in nominal terms. So, I mean, of course, you can go up in nominal terms. They keep printing money. We do have some have a problem right now with your video. So I was trying to go off you. So right now you are on as a non-video participant. So, all right, cool. We got you back again. And yeah, I just want to remind people. So one thing I was doing as I'm searching for content over here, and I'll go flip to my screen and just want to make you guys aware of this. So I actually have installed Presearch, which is a way to search the internet anonymously. So let's say I wanted to type in Canadian M3 data. You can see that I got 0.25 Presearch to my account. I can then decide if I want to go, you know, search it by Bing. I mean, who would want to use Bing? Usually I'm using DuckDuckGo, but if you're used to using Google, you can do that as well. Even YouTube, even sites like Zero Hedge. But let's say, okay, let's go to Google because that's what most people are used to, even though we're trying to get away from that. And then I just, you know, essentially got paid 0.25 pre-tokens in order to search. And so I do have a referral link down below because ultimately, you know, we have to decentralize our lives. We have to get away from, you know, using, I mean, yeah, I did illustrate with Google, but just to say that, you know, a lot of people are already using Google. So this is a way to make it a little bit more anonymous, especially if you're using a VPN network. But yeah, just want to let people know, you guys, we mentioned John's book down below. I've got a free copy of my book called How It's Rigged at howitsrigged.com, completely for free, of how, at least in America, they rig the unemployment data, the inflation data, the GDP data. It's only, I think, I forgot if it's 16 or 18 pages, but it's, I kept it short because just everything is right to the point, and I'm sure I'll do an addendum on that at some point. I also have different links where you guys can follow me, whether it's DLive or Twitch. If you like to listen to MP3s, I've got links from Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Player FM, Stitcher, Links for BitChute, my VayTube, which is YouTube, and then links also for Mayan Steemit and Fascist Book. But I am trying to get off Fascist Facebook as quick as possible. I mean, they might end up kicking me off. I mean, who knows? But that's where I've got the biggest following, but yet it's the one I care the least about because, you know, it's like, great, I post a video and out of 30,000 people, it only reaches like 200, which is absolutely insane. And then, of course, you guys can support the channel by going and clicking on the subscribe star link. You know, we've got the Red Pill Expo coming up next month. We've got Mike Maloney's goldsilver.com affiliate. We've got John's Winnipeg Crypto Conference coming up in October. Anarcho Vegas with our good friends Kingsley Edwards and Aaron Nakamoto, who is putting that on. All these have promo codes WHAM. Of course, we've got the GoFundMe, the Patreon, where they still allow us. And then we've got Josh's Bitcoin address as well. And then all this is for informational purposes only. You should consult with your own financial advisor. And if you don't have your financial advisor, or you think that I'm cooler than your financial advisor, then you can come consult with me. But all this is for informational purposes only because, you know, don't trust anything that we say. Just go out and do your own research on this stuff. And, you know, obviously, if you guys are following us and you've made it this far through the video, then it probably means you do like what we're saying. But anyways, now we do have John back. I guess he can do the proper outro, as I was worried that I was going to take it over.
Yeah, no, it's every time when we do the Zoom and I get below 20% battery, it blocks out when the message comes up. So I'm sorry about that, guys. I'll just finish off with this, Tim. And I think this is pretty proper for what's happening with the Canadian economy, is that the Canadian economy is really struggling. I think we're seeing a really big bubble here that's happening in Canada. And with Canada having the strongest banking sector in the world, which I have disapproved in my book, Canada, the Greatest Economy in the World, by far is showing that the Canadian banks were actually bailed out through the TARP fund in 2008. They are some of the weakest banks in the world. And Canada's economy is probably one of the biggest bubble economies in the world, together with Australia. People need to protect themselves. They need to understand how to not be a position and having your house as your asset, like your number one retirement asset. They need to, you know, widen their variety of what they get into. Actually, in my book, I have a financial advisor, which is my financial advisor here in Canada. He talks about how, you know, the RSPs, which is the 401ks in the United States, are a collusion between the banks and the government, and how they siphon up mass amounts of money. The government gets, you know, of course, tricks you in by giving you a little bit of tax deduction, but then getting 30, 40%, 50% in income tax when you claim that when you retire, which most people doesn't even think about when they retire, and they're way, you know, have way less money. And then, of course, he talks about how, you know, the banks get their massive MER fees. Here in Canada, Tim, you were shocked when I was talking about it, but it's, you know, 2 till 6% sometimes in fees, which is just a massive scam and a ripoff onto the people. And you as a financial advisor know that more than anything, Tim. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of mention that at the end, how...
You know, I mean, people can even get in with me and have Bitcoin in their portfolio for even less than that, which, you know, there's other firms out there charging 15% up front. I'm like, you know, that's highway robbery. And that was one of the impetus to create what we created over here. And you had mentioned the 2008 TARP bailout. And then, you know, not to get in a whole nother quagmire, but there was a secret bailout that was closer to $16 trillion, where basically, you know, we gave, we as being the Federal Reserve, gave money to a Gaddafi central bank, you know, before we went in and, you know, killed him. You know, thank you, Hillary, for
that. Yeah, and I believe we still have the gold. The Americans have the gold, right? So it was highly beneficial to go and murder a dictator for, you know, Hillary Clinton and the, you know, mercenary gang from the United
Nations. And there's a whole, I had an article on this and I got DDoS attack. Like, it was like right after I created the website. At the time it was libertarianadvisor.com, but it was, it was part of the WikiLeaks, where it even showed that Sarkozy of France had all these different deals with Goldman Sachs, and that they wanted to go in there to go steal the gold. And they were, I mean, like, plain as day. I mean, not even theorizing on any of this stuff. It's like, here's, you know, Sarkozy and Hillary talking about stealing the gold. And then, you know, she laughs it off of, like, you know, you know, I came, I saw, he died or something like that. And, you know, not only did he, you know, die, that they, what they did is they, you know, they, you know, he was, I guess the story goes that he was basically, you know, waving the white flag, had his whole caravan. And then, you know, because he knew Hillary was there and he wanted to give up to Hillary. And then what they did is they went in, like, sodomized him with, like, a, you know, with all these, like, bayonets and basically a gruesome, gruesome death. And it's not like I'm trying to cover for Gaddafi that I'm some huge fan of his, because, I mean, they claim, and I don't know if this is true, that he was responsible. I can't remember the name of the flight. It was, like, Pan Am 730, Pan Am something, where it blew
That's
up.
That's what they claim, yeah.
And so I'm, you know, dubious if he actually did that, but it was all students from Syracuse University, which, you know, mostly it was students from Syracuse University who ended up perishing on that. And I'm from Syracuse, New York, so it's not like I'm trying to cover for Gaddafi or anything, but, you know, I'm dubious whether he was, you know, really to blame for that. But I was probably, like, you know, 6 years old when that happened, so I wasn't, you know, into everything that was going on, or, you know.
Well, yeah. Tim, that's what happens when you want to create a gold standard or back your money with gold. It's pretty obvious. Of course, Gaddafi has been wanting to create a African, you know, gold-backed currency at the time, and then he was getting far ahead with it. But then, of course, he got, you know, dead in the tracks with him getting murdered. Now, of course, I know Literally. People from Libya. He was a crazy dictator, a nut job as well, but. Again, you know, it's all about, like, how the empire, you know, who they see fit and who they want. Like, oh, we want some oil here. We need some resources over here. They just go in and murder whoever they want. And that's nothing wrong to the American people. I get really frustrated with people saying that American people are terrible. It's just the empire that's terrible that the American have built and unfortunately get in, but that doesn't mean that all Americans are bad. Look at Tim here, our great friend Tim. You know, you're a fantastic guy, so I'm not you know, so excited about people that want to bash all Americans. It's all this collectivist belief that, you know, oh, we got to bash all Americans because, you know, their president is a freaking nut job. That is not the case.
A lot of Americans do suck. I mean, just like there's, I mean, there's, you know, collect, but it's, you know, the average person, yeah. You know, if you talk to them anywhere in the world, as we alluded to yesterday on our video, you know, they just, you know, they're stuck in the rat race. They just want to, you know, put food in the food, you know, on the table. They don't know everything that's going on. They've been indoctrinated. They've been, you know, they have the TV on in the background. They hear, you know, fake news, you know, MSNBC or MPC.
CBC or, here in Canada.
Yeah. Or
our state-owned news agency. How do you think about that? That's even worse than CNN.
And now, I mean, at least we're not in, London or England, where they're having, you know, they had to delay having a porn tax, I think, like a couple of weeks. And I even told my wife that. She's like, no way. She's like, so they wanted to have, and then also I think you have to have a license to have a TV over in England. So at least I guess we don't have it as bad.
Same where I'm from in Norway. Actually, my mom was visited by the licensing agency and they were looking in her house how many TVs she has. So that's how insane those things are. But again, like Canada, again, is like so massively taxed as well. So this is the problem. But let's finish it off there, Tim, before we get talking too much here. We could talk for, you know, hours upon hours about all this BS happening in the economy and all the fakery and so on. But yeah, this let's just finish off here. So this is John Snyson and Tim Pachot signing out from World Alternative Media. Find the truth. Be the change.